good morning, Greg. Yes.
Look, you've been working in an area that few people work in, let's say.
Yes.
And you've been working with school children, and you've been working in areas of cognitive science.
Yes.
What led you, and you also released a book, I might add,
yes.
Author of The Responsibility Theory.
Yes.
What led you into these places?
Look, it's a combination of two things. Well, a number of things, really. I've got a background in... I left school at 16, in fact, Greg, and I went in and became a tradesman, and during that time I also undertook an activity called Goju Karate, and then that led me to becoming a teacher, and then I taught for 20 or 25 years. And during that process, I thought to myself, well, look, what's going on here is not necessarily working, because... if I'm telling students what to do, that doesn't necessarily get them to want to work. And during that time, I also started applying a complex brain-based multi-movement therapy in the area of acquired brain injury. And that was leading to quite some success, and that led me to doing a PhD in cognitive neuroscience. And I drew those two fields together. The success that I was receiving with responsibility theory and my complex brain-based cognitive neuroscience studies, that has drawn together a situation where I'm getting this immense positive response through children saying to me, I'm using my powerhouse. They're saying that to me every day, and that is changing the behaviour of students in the community that I'm working with.
Look, it's been a long time coming, and for a lot of children, the thing is that it's not always the students that have a little bit of trouble catching on. Sometimes it's the bright students as well that have heard everything the teacher said, and they're sitting there just bored out of their brains. So, you know, a school, it's a difficult thing to get that happy compromise and get everybody switched on, basically, to what you're talking about, at the same time, at the same level.
It certainly is, and the process that I've gone through in my research is that there's one unifying factor for all of us that walk on this planet, and that's our brain. Every human brain has similar capacities. Every human brain. However, the cultures we live in shape our thinking, shape our behaviours, shape the way we interact with the world. Now, being in an Indigenous community, applying Western-style educational principles brings value. However, what we need to do is understand the cultural mores of the Indigenous community. And that one unifying factor is this. So we've got two parallel situations working together, and parallel lines don't they don't cross at all. What does bring these two cultures together is the unifying factor of the human brain. So I'm drawing on the cultural knowledge of the students and drawing on the cultural knowledge of Western-style education, placing them in the one human brain that allows children to say, I'm using my powerhouse, I understand my cultural background, I understand and embrace my culture, but I also now understand the universal principles of Western education that says 1 + 1 = 2, and I'll bring my cultural mores and support that 1 + 1 = 2, but I'll never lose my cultural understanding and my cultural love, and I'll work with you because I'm using my powerhouse. I'm an Indigenous person. I understand now the power of 1 + 1 = 2. I am using my powerhouse to advance myself within my cultural background because I love who I am, and I love this learning, and I love who I am. That's what I found taking place.
Well, the thing is that you're talking about bringing the two concepts together. You know, for too long in the Western way of teaching, kids were told to leave their culture behind right back from mission days, and it wasn't until Dr. Yanapenu, who was the lead vocalist of Yothu Yindi here, prior to being heavily involved in the band, he brought this two-way thinking that you're talking about into the classrooms of the Northern Territory, but it sort of fell by the wayside a little bit, and I take it you're reinvigorating it in any way you can.
Well, my focus is in the field of what is now being referred to as neuroeducation, and the university that I did my doctoral studies was Central Queensland University, and my PhD supervisor was Professor Ken Purnell, whom I'm in conversation with on a regular basis, and he in fact brought responsibility theory into the hallowed halls of Central Queensland University, and is now being used in the School of Education. And the research that is coming through from an independent perspective, where the pre-service graduate teachers at Central Queensland University are comparing responsibility theory with other theories, and they have found that the responsibility theory allows one to take ownership of the learning, and those who are applying it have said that this is changing the behaviours of the students, changing the behaviours of the teachers, and the classrooms have become more engaging. In fact, where I apply responsibility theory, I actually refer to the classrooms as conversational cafe classrooms, and that informs me that when you go to a cafe, what do? You engage with your friends, you talk to your friends, you're not there for conflict. And I could extend that to a further cultural perspective. I could call my classroom the corroboree classroom. Well, what do you do in a corroboree?
Yeah.
You engage. You work together. You dance together. You enjoy each other together. And while we're dancing, and if I extend this to my thinking in the classroom, I say, well, okay, we're dancing, we're singing, we're talking. What's 1 + 1? It's 2. Okay, have you lost your cultural identity because of that? No. Why not? Because I'm doing my corroboree. Why? Because I love my culture. But no, I don't need conflict in this, but because I understand, I use my power, because I can understand that I can now change my neurons and rewire my brain to be a better person in terms of what I do.
So I take it you're also an advocate of the plastic brain as well?
Oh, yes. I've applied the plastic brain principle when the plastic brain principle wasn't really being discussed. I started applying my plastic brain principles of brain neuroplasticity back in 1993 when a elite sports person was injured, and that person was diagnosed as never walking or talking again. And when I started to apply my complex brain-based multi-movement therapy, that person started walking within 10 to 12 weeks.
Wow. Amazing. Look, it's a lot of times people look at universities at places where people go to learn, but some of that learning doesn't actually end up in the community. Well, this is an area now where it actually has done. You actually have a book out to back it called The Responsibility Theory.
Yes.
And it must be pleasing for you now to see that being used in classrooms around the country.
It is. And what I'm also pleased about is it's so delightful to see how children are using it. I'll give you an example that just happened to me yesterday. Here's a young boy, he might have been 5 or 6, coming into the classroom, and he's got his little brother with him. And as the boy was walking to me, he put his hand on his head and said, Dr. Percy, I'm using my powerhouse, and this is my brother, and I'm teaching him to use his powerhouse. And the little brother, without even knowing him, put his hands on his head and said, I'm using my powerhouse.
It's a great word, and it signifies a change of where education's been headed for quite some time. Where can the book be purchased?
It's available at Central Queensland University.
Yeah.
And it's also available through a organisation called EDSCO, E-D-S-C-O, EDSCO. They're the ones hold copies of responsibility theory, and because of the way the internet works now, just go to EDSCO or Central Queensland University bookstore and just engage with them, and that'll be made available.
Dr. Ragnar Purje, thank you for sharing that with us just before our Easter break. Give us something to think about, and a new way of looking at education and how the brain functions.
It's been a great delight speaking with you, Greg. Thank you very much.